host of Writer's Block on CBS Sports HQ, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern. Host of Writer Than You on CBS Sports Radio, Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern. And a legendary panelist from our daily show back in the day, Bill Ryder. Bill, what's going on? How are you?
I'm great now that I'm here. This is awesome.
This is awesome. So how's your week going?
You know what? You're right. It was a good Monday. It was a little busier, a little more energy this Monday around. It's good.
You got to take that. That's a good thing. Listen, let me go off the beaten path really quickly. I don't want to do this, and I don't want to be this guy, but a thing that became a topic on the show is where my senior in high school son is going to attend college.
Wow.
All right? It became a thing. It shouldn't have been a thing, but it became a thing. And it became a thing when I mentioned that he had an interest in Wisconsin. And then the Badger Mafia started to call. And then I mentioned he went to Missouri. He visited. He got in.
Oh, you got to. Oh, Mizzou.
Syracuse is a possibility.
Don't send him.
Arizona's coming hard. Arizona State, he's already in. So now we're on a short list. John Anderson called him yesterday. I've never met John. I've never spoken to John. He somehow knew. That part of the Mizzou family knew. And he talked to the kid for 45 minutes. I need to hear from you. If the kid is leaning towards Wisconsin, would Mizzou be a better place?
I mean, Syracuse is the fourth best broadcast school in the country, so he doesn't want that. Mizzou's number one. I'll say this about Wisconsin. If he wants to go and party and have fun, I'm from Dubuque, Iowa originally. It's fun at Madison. Mizzou's pretty fun, too. Great journalism school, great Mizzou mafia. We will take care of him. It's a no contest. And it's probably negative 40 right now, today, in Madison, Wisconsin.
Right?
Yeah, no, you can't do that to your,
right,
to your
so
kid.
So what about the college experience for you? I mean, from a journalistic standpoint, obviously, yeah. The J school is unbelievable. You've done great. A lot of people have gone through there, have done great. What about the college experience?
Well, I mean, I'll say that. Let's start with what's important. I married a Mizzou girl. I outkicked my coverage. If I can go to Columbia, Missouri, and marry the woman that I did, your son will do just fine. I had a great time. My family relocated to Columbia because they loved it so much, visiting me in Columbia, Missouri.
Wow.
Mom and dad live
That's
in Columbia.
Big.
My little sister lives in Columbia.
Still.
They're there right now, hunkered down. You know, the sports could be a little better. The football could be a little better. The basketball be a little better. Amazing university. I had a great time. Best friends of my life. Still the guys that I talk to every day. Met my freshman and sophomore year at Mizzou. Best choice I ever made to go to school there.
All right, that's strong. I appreciate that. Bill Ryder joining me here on the row. Let me talk about the news that broke. It is Super Bowl week, but the big topic of the week, of course, the report yesterday that Anthony Davis does not intend to sign an extension with the Pelicans. What was your reaction when you saw that story?
There's so many ins and outs. My first reaction was LeBron James is going to pull off the perfect collusion crime. And it won't technically be collusion because LeBron's agent, Rich Paul, is allowed to represent his client, Anthony Davis, but everybody in the NBA knows Rich Paul, before he was an agent, was a part of LeBron's entourage in a good way. They're friends. He's part of that entrepreneurial spirit. Guys like Maverick Carter who have gone out and run different parts of LeBron's empire, and they've been really good at it. They've been great at it. But when Rich Paul is pulling the strings, we all know LeBron James is pulling the strings. It is not a coincidence that the pieces are falling at a time when it tries to maximize the pressure on New Orleans to send him to one place and one place only, where LeBron James plays basketball.
All right, so what about Anthony Davis? I mean, this is a big talking point in the first half of the season. This is not a guy that is looking to make waves. We know this about this particular guy. What do you make of the way he's handled this?
Well, I think it's the way that Rich Paul and LeBron have handled it, but it wasn't the right approach. I understand what they're trying to do, Jim. They're trying to create a scenario where they look like the good guys, they're giving New Orleans time, and they're leveraging the Lakers. But it's an amateur move, and it feels like an amateur move by the people that AD has turned to. And I understand why. The Warriors broke the NBA, and now all these superstars have to cluster together. We've seen Jimmy Butler do it. We've seen Paul George do it with varying degrees of grace. So I get it. Anthony Davis, Kawhi did it. It's like, all right, it's my turn. I'm going to find my exit. I'm going to do it a little bit earlier. But when your agent goes out there and publicly says AD is going to be gone, the NBA has to investigate the actual move, the smart move. Is Rich Paul calls up the guy who broke the story, Adrian Wojnarowski, and says, close source to AD says this. The fact they did it on the record, it applies maximum pressure, but it's an amateur move.
All right, so when you talk about what's going on in the NBA and the fact that Golden State did what they did, so all these other pieces are now doing what they're doing, go with that great Twitter myth. Is there any way at all this guy could end up in Golden State?
Vegas actually has them in the reasonable odds. They think that it's possible. The way that I think that happens, and it's another report that came out today, that Klay Thompson, if he doesn't get a max deal, would consider going to the Lakers, which shows you, I think there's some insight there. All is not necessarily copacetic in that Golden State locker room. You talk to people around the NBA. There's varying degrees of tension and ego. Klay Clay's a pretty chill dude, but everybody wants to get paid and everybody wants their respect. If Clay left and Durant stayed, I don't think Durant's staying, and the Pelicans have the patience, so it's a lot of pieces. Yeah, that is an organization like the Celtics and Danny Ainge willing to be really bold if they have the room to be bold.
Bill Ryder joining us. All right, in terms of the Celtics, they could not finalize a deal until summertime. For those who do not know the story, why is that?
So basically, the particulars of the contract that Kyrie Irving has means they cannot bring in AD until July 1st. So, and Danny Ainge is by far the boldest general manager in the game. He's going to look at what happened with the Raptors. He's going to look at what happened certainly with Oklahoma City and say to himself, you give me a year and a half with AD, I will sell him on Boston and maybe I'll win a championship even if I don't. But he can't pull that trigger because of the way the contracts are structured until July 1. So what Ainge and the Celtics need to do is basically convince the Pelicans you don't want to trade him in the Western Conference, you don't want to reward LeBron James and Rich Paul for doing this, and you're not going to get the right deal. Wait till July 1. We will come with the goods.
I mean, is that not a good argument? Why wouldn't the Pelicans, if they want to maximize leverage, why wouldn't they wait until the summer?
I think there's two ways to look at it. I mean, So New Orleans is obviously really angry. They put out a statement really quickly about how they were going to dictate terms. Not to be the grammar guy, but there were some typos in the statement, which you don't usually. They were like, you can just see, like, frantically typing the statement. You got to take a beat and you got to take a breath. And not to pick on Sam Presti more than I tend to. He's a great GM. But when he traded Harden to the Rockets, people around the NBA thought and said and told me and other folks there was a better deal. There were just some personality conflicts. It's like The Godfather. It's not personal. It's strictly business. And so the Pelicans got to take a breath and decide, and it's their own evaluation, is three of the following guys, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, certainly Kyle Kuzma, and draft picks now, bird in the hand, worth Jaylen Brown or whatever Danny Ainge and those assets can come up with. And that depends on your evaluation of those young Lakers.
Generally, when somebody says it's not personal, it's personal. In fact, it's always personal. What about Lonzo? What do you think Lonzo Ball, now that he is a part of this package, if there is a package, what do you think that he makes of his first year and a half in the NBA?
I think he hates his life, is probably passive-aggressively angry at his father, and learns a hard lesson that life isn't fair. And that's true for guys that sell insurance, that do radio, and that play at the highest level of the NBA or whatever sport it is. Playing with LeBron has its benefits if you can survive, or coaching LeBron. It's hard to survive. It's hard to stay in that orbit. He's probably going to realize a lot more quickly than most guys do that despite his talent, the world doesn't revolve around him, and he better get it together if he wants to stick in the league.
What do you make of that fit between LeBron and Lonzo? Is there a fit there?
I don't know that there is. And I'm not sure it's a personality fit. I mean, LeBron has grown a pretty thick skin over the years. The things I've said about him on this show, right? Like, LeBron and I are cool. LeBron gets it. LeBron likes the ball in his hand. He's one of the great facilitators of all time. Lonzo needs the ball in his hand to be effective. He's not a good shooter. I just think it's a bad fit on the floor. And, you know, you cop a little bit too much of an attitude. LeBron likes a LeBron James culture. He's not a big young guys kind of player. You put it all together, Lonzo Ball probably thrives away from LeBron James.
All right, so what about that report? Going back to Boston for a minute, there was an additional report that was not a preferred destination for Davis. Do you think there's anything to that?
I do. I think there's one destination and one the moment that Anthony Davis signed with Rich Paul, LeBron's guy, I texted some GMs, does this make him a Laker eventually? And every single guy wrote back either yes or probably, right? The league knows. Everybody knows. I mean, Rich Paul basically told all of us this is where he wants to go, and they want to drive the price down. But again, Jim, I think if you're Danny Ainge and you look at the fact that Kawhi Leonard didn't want to probably be in Canada, but he's there. Paul George wanted to be a Laker. He went to Oklahoma City, fell in love with it, and agreed to stay, him and Russ. You know there's a chance you can get the Paul George model and change AD's mind. A year and a half is a long time. A year's a long time. Or you get the Kawhi model, which is we're hellaciously good. We got a chance to at least come out of the East. And if he leaves, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. I think Anthony Davis wants to be a Laker today, and it's probably the direction it's going to go, but I don't think Danny Ainge in Boston cares.
All right, so Bill, what about Kawhi Leonard? Before you go, where do you think his head is at right now? What if they do come out of the East?
Man, it is one of the big, difficult questions to answer in the NBA and the Eastern Conference, because they are, and you know, he doesn't play. They're managing his minutes. There's a lot of do not plays, but when he plays, even when he doesn't play, his presence on that team makes them, I think, the best team in the Eastern Conference come mid-April when we're talking seven-game series in the playoffs. If they make it to the finals and he gets a taste of that away from Pop, Maybe he stays in Toronto, but the fact he just bought a multi-million dollar plane, it's not close to L.A. You know Southern California.
Sure.
That's a long drive. Without traffic, that's a long drive. But there's still a sense out there. People think he's going to go west, but he's an enigma. I mean, we've seen him. He's quiet. He's introverted. He keeps his close counsel. I honestly don't know. I think Toronto can make a run.
I have no idea what makes that guy go.
The laugh
is
weird.
No idea.
Right?
Laugh is awesome, but I have no idea what makes that guy tick at all. What are you doing on your... That.
So
thanks,
bad.
Albie. So good. What are you doing on your show tonight?
So we're going to be recapping on the TV show CBS Sports HQ. We're going to be recapping last night's media night. We're going to get into, I think, the greatest players to never win a Super Bowl. Brady Quinn's going to swing by. Great dude. Give us his perspective. And we're going to do a Bill Ryder NFL Honors where we maybe insult some people along with honoring some people.
Why would you do that, bro?
Because I'm mean, Jim.
Why would you do that, bro? Don't hate. Why do you got to hate?
A little sense of humor never hurt anybody.
Have I not taught you anything? Why you got to hate?
You told me the good stuff.
Why you got to be critical, people,
man? I'm
still
learning the bit.
Listen, dude, so good to see you, man. You're doing a great job. I appreciate it. Thanks for spending time. Have a great night, Bill.
Thanks for having me.
All right. He is the host of Writer's Block on CBS Sports HQ and the host of Writer Than You on CBS Sports Radio.